I have asked for the opportunity to introduce the Neobatovov because I grew up and my parents drilled into me, and then my Rebbe drilled into me the importance of Hakor HaSotev. My Rebbe used to say, if you don't have Hakor HaSotev, you can't be a Frum Yid. You have to have Hakor HaSotev, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, for creating the belt. And if you can't even have appreciation for your parents, the way they bring you up, how can you have appreciation for the Kodesh Baruch? My Hakor Sotev to the Neobater is not so much because he helped me. He did. He's helped me several times. I've also helped him. That I can do with a plain thank you. But it's a more important thing. And when I grew up, fortunately, unfortunately, all the Rabbonim I knew were Erlecha people. There wasn't a Rav who didn't answer to a higher authority that I knew, and I didn't know. I didn't grow up in New York. I grew up in the sticks. The Rabbonim there were Erlech people. Unfortunately, after I have come into the world of Kashrus, there are Rabbonim who do things for Geld and for Kovei. Some Rabbonim want a partner, so they go into Kashrus. I'm not saying they're doing it wrong. I'm saying, but their motivation is their parnasa, and they will think twice about losing a hefsher because it means it comes out of their pocket. Other Rabbonim are doing it, particularly in meat. They like the kovet. It goes, oh, I give hashgacha to meat. As I was saying in the Shulchan Aruch, both the Mechaber and the Ramah require aleph beis, so the person dealing with meat should do it because of Yiras Shamayim. And I have become very cynical about Rabbonim I meet, unfortunately. And the Neobater is somebody that everybody can testify for him, about him, that he's doing it L'Shem Shamayim. The Maisa Shehoyo, which I'm not going to tell, that proved to the whole world that the Neobater would not hesitate to lose his parnosa for the sake of kashrus. It's a madrega that we can all aspire to, particularly in kashrus. Are you willing to lose your parnosa for the sake of a principle? And my hakor sotev for the Neobater, I'm not going to tell all that I know about him because it will embarrass the poor man, and I don't, that's also not erlich to embarrass him, but restoring my faith that there are Rabbonim involved in meat and in kashrus who are doing things l'shem shemayim.
Shalom aleichem, b'richem abuam. This is my bi-yearly English speech once in 2 years, which Rabbi Grossman gives me the opportunity to speak for, I think, how much? 2 hours do I have?
Oh, no.
I think that's what he told me. I prepared. For about two and a half hours. That's what you know?
No, it's an hour. An hour, I think.
Oh, so I made a mistake with one.
To 11.
Oh, okay. I thought, Udom Toya Beshu Eichot. So, I'm sorry. To be correct, it's only 1 hour. when one goes out shopping, the sequence of events in one's mind, the first thing normally I said, Trey, because sometimes people go out shopping, they have nothing but to do, and they like to just walk the aisles in a nice big shopping mall, and if they see something, they buy it. But normally, the sequence of events is the first thing in your mind is to come to the Hakura and realize this is the chayfetz, this is the thing that I need to buy. The next thing is, where do I buy it? How much will it cost me? And so on, which brand, which model, so on and so forth. The Torah Gedoisha tells Klal Yisrael with the Rabbein Shloim, it's in Parshas Hayira, which it's printed in the Siddur after Laini. Some people have a minute to saying it every day. This is the only thing which the Rabbi Nishlam asks of Klal Yisrael, Le'yiru es Hashem Elokeichu. That's it. The Rabbi Nishlam asks from us to have Yiras Shumayim. And then, of course, the Pussy goes on, La'avas Hashem Elokeichu, Leiches B'chol Druchav, and so on and so forth. So, what every Frimayid wants to have is one thing, Yiras Shumayim. The question is, this is what he wants to get and have. How do you get it? Where do you get it? The gasoline for an automobile, you know, there are gas stations. Some people use the more expensive, the less expensive, this brand, that brand. Yira Shemaim, there's only one Nikita. Yiras Shemaim. The gasoline for Yira Shemaim is kashrus. Kashrus is the gasoline. You can't, unfortunately, you can't buy it in a gas station. So you have to look for other methods and places where you can buy it. And this is what the Torah Gdoshah says in Parsha Shemini, Al teshaktias nafshasaychem b'chol asheretz asheretz v'loisetami b'hem v'netmais b'am. Again, I'm just repeating word for word the Lushna Kru. Ki ani Hashem elakaychem v'skadishtem v'yisem kedoshim kikudesh ani. The Gemara zukt in Masechtes Yima, V'loisetami b'hem v'netmaisem b'am al tikru v'netmaisem eilu v'nitamtem. V'nitamtem means clogged up. Like everybody knows, in this day of age, they have ways to verify if your arteries are clogged up and you need to have a bypass or whatever procedure is being done medically. Timma from achulas asiras clogs up kedishes klal yisroel kedishes benay yisroel. Vehiskadishtem is the lushna pusik. Zug de gemure udam mekadish atzma lematu mekatshen oisoy lemalu. If we do our share of kedisha, the Rebbeinu Shlomo will add on min hashamayim, give us much more than we can get ourselves. Ma'at, we do a little. So from this, Chazal tells us that the PIN, you know, every credit card has a PIN number if you want to withdraw money from the bank. The PIN to withdraw Yira Shemayim and Kedishas Rachni is V'hiskadishtem V'yisem Kedoshim Al Teshaktzias Nafshasaychem. That's the Isser from Achulas Asiras. If you want to put together a puzzle, each piece has to fit exactly. If you have the slightest anything which doesn't belong there, the puzzle won't be able to put together and won't match. The Torah Kedosha tells us, V'hiskadishtem V'yisem kedoshim, why ki kudosh ani. Kvot Shemayim, the Rebbeinu Shloilem is Rachni, and that's Kedisha. If you want to have a Shaychas, a Kesher, be able to connect, is you have to be Kodesh just as Kedisha's the Rebbeinu Hashchina. The Mesilas Yeshurim says, Machulas Asiris is poison to the Neshama. Just like somebody, there's talk in town on a certain item, a certain machl, a certain mashka, that it's unhealthy. They found out some information, the Board of Health, not to drink this water, kedoyma, kedoyma. Nobody would touch it until the proper authorities come out and they test it. Since you fail it, you're allowed to use it. There is an interesting Remu in Yeredaya, which you know, the Remu, the Gebot of Halucha. He brings an Agu Sashri that a woman at the time of nursing should very, very much be makpet not to eat any machulas asiras, because the baby that's nursing now, when he'll get old, that's the Lushna Remu, he'll suffer, his rochnius will suffer what his mother ate, not the baby ate, the mother ate while she was nursing him. That gets transpired into the baby. The Makar, where does the Rimu take it? It's Agu Sashri. It's a Bakanta Mansa. Acher, the Rebbe Vermeier, the Isaac Nisei Vermeier went to be his Talmud, you can imagine he was a Udam Gudel. And in his older years, Nabuch Yutzel Atarbesru, he became Natrum. And the Yerushalma gives the reason, because when his mother was in a pregnant month, while she was pregnant, went through a bais avodah zura, where they were broiling a grill, they were broiling meat, which we all know has a very good smell. And the mother enjoyed the smell of the broiling the meat and the bais avodah zura. He wasn't even born. And in his older years, this obviously came surfaced, and this is what Rachmun and Islam took him away from Yiddishkeit. So therefore the Ramu says and brings the Agus Ashri that a nursing mother should very, very much be makbet. She shouldn't be nichshel chalila machulus asiris. Therefore, somebody who wants to be oisik and kasheris without siyata deshamaya, something that's impossible to accomplish properly. If you want to have siyata deshamaya, is number one, b'derech she'udam roitza laylech malicha. First thing is, depends on you. You have to really want it and do the utmost what's in power in your hands to accomplish it. B'derech she'udam roitza laylech malicha, you have to really want to. And to do the utmost what's possible to do. Therefore, in Kasha specifically, like Rabbi Mandelin said before, sometimes your personal interest and the Kasha's interest work along hand in hand, and they're on the same roadway. So you have no problem. There's no competition, but sometimes they are competing each other. For Toivus Akashas, or Toivus Rochni, you have to do one thing. For your own personal interest, you have to do another thing. By the way, I have to correct Rabbi Mandel. He says, I do it L'Shem Shemaim. No, I do because I get paid for it. I do it for the check. I just want to do it L'Shem Shemaim just as well, because this is why I'm getting paid for. But had I not get paid, I tell you very openly, I would not do it. So, I just want to understand. The Divr Chaim, who was a Zayda of a grand, an elder Zayda from Amaman, Alei Shulam, writes in one of the Chivas, the Kilkel Hador, he's talking about Deutschland, Germany, who was once very frum and became very not frum, the Tzibber, happened because the Shochtem were not frum. The Chassam Sofer says, the Yitzer Hara has a chair of three legs. It gives a chazunim, shochtem, and sofrem. If one of those three categories, people whose services Klal Yisrael are not erlich, automatically it spills over that Klal Yisrael chulila, slowly but surely, it penetrates against the Chaylik Arachni. Baruch Hashem, the Eibishter geholfen, Klal Yisrael came to America. And Sigmund Agavaldi Gecharm, I'm not here to go through history. I just read the other day somebody printed in Yiddish how Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Zitzal, who was the Rav HaKoyle in New York, what he went through specifically when he had to do with the butchers, with the Bais HaShechitas, the Matzav HaKashas. It's just mind-boggling reading it. I understand it because I lived through it on a daily basis, so I know exactly what he's writing about. All the stories, just mind-boggling. What, and this was the reason why he came, why they brought him here. And unfortunately, it got to his health, and he was nifta because of Agmas Nefesh, what he had, what those butchers and Bais HaShechitas did to him. Chas Hashem, Baruch Hashem, I can zugen. Rav butchers today don't own their own shechita. Even the company I work for, Milmat, Eliprasim, whatever name, we the policy from Balbus is always never to own a Baisa Shechita. Why? He doesn't want to own the Bahaima and pay salary for the Shechet to be the same person. So automatically, if the Shechet gets paid from the people who own the Baisa Shechita, without saying, there's a Bakanta Masa, Segvein Aramoyshe clears, their Tver Yeruv, there was a big tzaddik, and the local government wanted to hire him, he should become their roof. They promised they won't get involved, interfere in his psak. He said, if I get wages from you, you give me the check every week, I'm going to run after you asking what exactly do you want me to do. So I don't want to get any money, but I'm not so. So, Baruch Hashem, and the Babuz from the Baisa Shechita is somebody who doesn't pay the payroll for the Shachtan. This has a tremendous, tremendous value in kashrus. So the shochet frees free. He can do in kashrus whatever he feels is the correct thing to do. As I said before, bi-yearly, I go through all haluchas, which is from beginning, from when the animal is live until it's packed in the showcase of a store. All the haluchas and the procedures will go through as much as is possible to do in a such a short period of time. In the afternoon, Mechem, part of the group, part of the Chushav Oilam, is supposed to come to the plant which Milmat has in Queens. We're going to show their knicker and everything, whatever there is to show there. We also have some pictures here to show. After I'll go through, we're going to be able to see it, which we did 2 years ago in the Baisa Shechita, so you can see how the Shechita is performed and Bedika and so on and so forth. The Mechaba Zukt in Yoredaya Simi Yitches Harba Tzurich Yishva Das V'Yira Shemaim LeBedika Sasaken. I'm sure they were supposed to give everybody this little few pages. Again, everything what I'm saying I typed up there, so I think we can do it a little the kitzer. Yeshiva Das, in sequence from Lushna Machaber, Yeshiva Das is before Yerushalayim. Because if you don't have the proper Yeshiva Das, you can't practice Yerushalayim. The Yerushalayim doesn't have that much value because you really are not yourself. The first thing, so for, to have Yeshiva Das, there's a lot of things that have to be prepared for the Shoichet, comfortable environment, enough heat in the winter, enough air conditioning in the summer, or fans, not to work too many hours without a break. There is an Oirua, which the Satmar Rebbe Zitzal, with my father Zitzal, together agreed upon that if a Shoichet drives to the Baisa Shechita, there's a certain amount of time he has to rest before he can start doing the Shechita. So he's not overworked too much. He gets a little rest. A shoichet, before he becomes a shoichet, has to have license. His rebbe who trained him to be a shoichet gives him a ksav, which is called hoidua. Then he goes with that to a roof, and the roof fahit him and gives him a ksav, which is called kabula. He has to constantly chazed aluchas, just like a bucha yeshiva, who he learns, and they don't usually like to so much go over again and again. It gets a little boring. Everybody learns to learn constantly new. The same thing as Shoichet is the opposite. Even doesn't like it, but that's part of the job. They have to have a shir. Usually it's done 2-3 shachtim together. They have shirim kaviyim, and they have to go through again and again. Usually from time to time I send out to all the shachtim a questionnaire, they have to mail back a form, they fill out exactly how often they go through the aluchas. The matzav abahayim b'shas ha-shechita, it should be standing very in place, that the neck should not be able to move, which we'll see soon, so there shouldn't be any shalas of the shechita. We have a tikkun, the shochtim have to prepare the sakinim the night before, because usually in the morning when you get up, if you have to, sometimes takes a little longer, and you figure you're going to get up an hour or two before the Shechita, and it takes you longer than that, that automatically you're pressured with time, and you can't, you just don't have the time enough to finish your Chalaf. So if you do the night before, you're not rushed, and you are in a better position to prepare properly. Da in the Torah Gdoshe Shteid Vezuvachtu Kasher Tzivisichu. So Hilche Shechita really is not specifically specified, mentioned, no place in the Torah. Kasher Tzivisichu. It's Halucha L'Moshe Mesinai, the Chamaishas Hilche Shechita. Which is Shia means once you start checking, you have to finish even a split second. You can't stop. Chaluda means the knife has to be uncovered. If it's covered either by hair, by lamb especially, have long hair, so we give them a haircut before the shechita, the date or two before they cut, the place where the shechita is being performed, in the neck, that area has to be cut. We had occasionally, when they didn't do the job right, we just don't check them. We just go home. Then there's drusa, you have to cut, there's vachtu, to make a cut, not, if you use too much pressure, it's like banging, like a butcher used to, with a knife, give a bang and cut through the meat. You have to cut it slowly. Hagruma, that's the area in the neck, exactly from where the mukam hashechita starts, close to the body, and then where it ends, as far up, close to the head, where the shechita is allowed to be. And then there's ikar, you can't rip the meat of the simunim, you have to cut it. Look at chila, the halucha is, you have to cut both, there's the vayshet and the kuna. The vayshet is just like in human beings, is where the food goes down to your stomach, and then there's the kuna where the air goes through. Look at chila, you have to cut both simunim, with the avet, bana chicken, rav simenecha tekusha, but behind me you have to have a rav from both simunim. And of course, the shala sometimes come up, and that's part of the training of the shoychet, to be able to recognize, is there Rav Nishchet or not. If it's not, it's Nevaila. If yes, it's Kosher. Then is the Inyan from Trifas. Halucha L'Moshe Mesinai is do 8 types of Trifas. The Mishnah lists 18. The Rambam lists 70. But basically, it's like an Av and a Told. In Halucha Shabbos, we have the Lamatas Av Meluchas, then there's a lot of Toldas. So basically, the 70 is all part, one part of the other. Generally speaking, the Sigim Masech Techilin, which you all know, Achrarab Lahatas, that since Rav Behaimas Akshayras, we have no chiyuv to check for all 70 trifas, except those trifas that's more common, that's Mutzi, which is trifas Araya, checking the lung, and the guts, meaning when the stomach comes out, from time to time you do find, it's not so often, but you do find if the animal eats grass and he eats a nail, eats a piece of wood or something, just like when a human being gets a splinter, if you don't remove it immediately, it slowly starts to form an infection. The same thing happens in the intestines, and of course if you see it, that means the actual nail or wood penetrated the lining of the stomach and it gets infected, and that behind the stripe. The only thing we check is lungs. Now, the lung, the way it's formed, and I asked to give out pictures from a Sechtes Chilin where the animal hangs, that's the way we have it by Yosef by Sashkita, and that's the way the Gemara says, if it hangs by its feet, and the head and the hand is towards the bottom, and the shoichet stands just across, so the right side of the shoichet is the left side from the animal. So the Gemara says, and that's, it has three, we have a lung here, once I finish, I'm going to show you exactly what I mean, has three parts, gimel b'yamin, ibayis b'smol. And then it has two big pieces of meat. It's called imma, with a mem. The other five, three and two, are called inna, with a niyan. Each part has a name. I also made a copy of, we enlarge it, that's a little tag, after the Boydik does Bedikas Panim, he writes the number of this particular animal on that little piece of paper, and with a pen he marks off exactly where by Bedikas Panim what he found. Now, what can he find? He could find either it's completely treif, which of course they mark an X on the behemoth, and this behemoth is treif. They can find what we call kelbuglot, which Rabbi Mendel mentioned before. There is what we call kelbuglot, and there is what we call basiosavglot. By calves, we accept for kosher only when it has 0-0. What does 0-0 mean? You find nothing. No rearing, no sirchas, no nothing. What's a sircha? What made the animal to have a sircha? Because a machloike rash and toysim sech teschil. Either when the lung gets punctured, if it has a hole, it's strife. The animal can't live. So the nature, since the animal is, the lung is closed in its own place, the mukam araya, which is closer to the head, and it has mucus, natural mucus, which is, that's the way they live. We also have mucus in our internal organs. So the mucus creates that it should close up the hole and slowly build what they call a sircha. That means, really, this animal had a hole. The lung was punctured. But the teva, the Rabbeinu Shlom created the animals, that slowly the mucus closes up, plugs, just like you put a plug in a tire of a car, it plugs up and grows. But since this is not born, so it happened later from the mucus, it's not strong enough to really close it up, and it should become kosher. So therefore, a sircha is only a simon that there was a hole here. This is shittas rasha. Tois is just the opposite. There was never a hole here. But the sircha eventually will come off, because a lung, just like human, when we breathe in, we feel our stomach gets filled up. What gets filled up? The lung gets blown up. When we let out the air, the lung gets decreased without air. It's smaller. So the same thing, when the animal lives, the sircha is there, eventually opening and closing is going to rip off. By ripping off, that will make a hole in the lung, even though it never had one. So shittas toisus is the opposite. It never had a hole, but it will happen. Therefore, toisus says this is the reason a sircha strive. However, there are what we call sirchas, and there are what we call rin. And this is an area where everybody asks, what does mean glot? Glot in Yiddish means, this is glot. When you sand the floor, when you call a scraper, he takes a sand machine, he scrapes it off, it should be glot. And he puts on polyurethane or whatever coating they put on. That's glot. You shine it off. The kitchen cabinet, it was raw wood, they sand it off, they polish it, it's glot. So the word glot really is that the lung had nothing, no adhesions, no sirchas, no rim, no nothing. By calf, since they're so young, we do not remove anything. Why do we remove? Who gave us the permission to remove? Is a machloike machaber a remove? The machaber holds that you can't remove anything. The remove is Michael. These are one of the rare cases where the remove is lekila and the machaber lechimra. How do you remove it? What type of sichas can you remove? This is the area of expertise where shochtim really learn one from another. When the Shchit and Milmat was formed, which is more than 60 years ago, I'm with the company for 23 and a half years. My father, Zechariah Bichur, founded the Kashas of Milmat, and he was with them for over 37 years. So we're now in our 61st year. The Shochtim that started the Shechita, they were Shochtim in Europe, because they, Baruch Hashem, lived over the war. And the old Satmar Rebbe Zitzal, at that time, it was called the Satmar Shechita. because number one, Kal Yaitav Lev, the Satmar, was a customer. Number two, every Chaylik HaKashrus, every decision in Kashrus, my father was a type, he didn't want to take it upon himself. It's for Klal Yisrael. He said, Dafum, the backing of Udam Gudu, Tzadik Bekudish, is over the Rebbe Zitzal, and therefore every question was brought to his table, and among them together, they decided. I myself was sitting in a few meetings where they, even like I said before, how long should the Shoichet, after he comes to the arrives in Bais HaShechit and driving, how long should they have to rest before he starts to work? Which, so I still remember the Rebbe Zitzal said, Ich bin nicht kein Driver, ich kann nicht gedrive. So I really can't know how does the Shoichet feel. One of his Gebuim, driver. I think he told my father, you and him decide, I agree, what you still will decide is the right thing. I think that should be the way. We have mandatory retirement at the age of 70. At the age of 70, no shoichet is allowed to work, neither as a shoichet, neither as a boidik. So, therefore, the Seider HaGlat really was given to us by the Shochtem from the Doiris HaKadman, and they trained the new young Shochtem back in 20, 30 years ago, and they are our senior Shochtem now, and they are training from the younger generation. It's very difficult to explain, but I'll try to explain it as much as possible to people who have never seen it and never were in Bais HaShechita. You have a plastic that's called like saran wrap, which is a very thin, see-through plastic. Then you can have a thicker gauge of plastic, which people use for table coverings, a heavy plastic for covering chairs, which is really much heavier. The same thing is, if it's a sircha, if you pull it away from the meat of the lung, you see the meat of the lung is a pinkish type of meat, comes along with a sircha, and you see it's the sircha is really connected to the meat, it's like one. Then a rear is only when you pull the so-called sircha, and you see the meat of the actual lung stays in place, and you, after a few times seeing, you see it's really like just a piece of scotch tape put on, it has no real connection. However, sometimes we do find very, very tiny rear. And if you pull it, you see blood leaking into it. It's so tiny, like a pin, a little thin metal pin. But if you look inside, you see blood from the lung oozing slowly into that little, of course, that strife. Even though it's so thin, it still has blood, obviously, because it is really connected, because if not, how does the blood vessel from the lung come into the rear? So that means it's a sircha, even though it's thin. But generally speaking, if it's thin, and you also, we remove it, which I personally have done a few times just to get a feeling what it's all about, you feel you don't have to put too much power in koyach to remove it. You just, you know, like there's, I'm sorry, you have sticker notes and you have scotch tape. If you put on scotch tape on something, you want to take it off, you feel you're ripping off a piece of paper. The paper comes along. The sticker notes have a special type of glue. You just peel off and you feel the paper stays in place. It just like easily comes off, like really without anything. So it's more or less, I would say, the easiest way I can explain it to somebody who never saw it is like you compare scotch tape taking off and sticker notes removing. So therefore, glat is considered by calves since they are young. So the Rambam said you cannot allow yourself to remove by the removal. Of course, after we remove it, we check it with water. We have a foot pedal and we have a long nozzle with two clips. The lung gets put on the cone, which is narrow, one end wide and the other, and gets hooked on, and with the foot pedal, so he has his both hands free, with the foot, he adds on air which is connected to an air pump, and it blows out the lung, and then he takes off slowly that rear, and we have water running above him, and he puts water in one hand and the piece of lung in the other, and adds our lung, and if he made a hole in the lung, the air would automatically bubble into the water. So this is the way he checks if he didn't puncture. If he did it, even though he thought it's only a rear, it had no connection, came up very easily, but yet if he punctured the wound, the lung, and sometimes it does happen, if it's in a very soft spot, even though he's 99.9%, it's only a rear, it was very easy coming off, to come off, he had that strife. It has to be come off easily, and by checking the water, you don't see it leaking air. This is the way we accept which we call gases. Gases means a big animal, a bull, a cow, steer. However, dakas, which that's called smaller animals, a lamb, a calf, up to a certain age. The Musa, since they're so young, it could be it's really a real sercha, and it really was a hole there, or will make a hole like Toysus. But since it's so young, therefore it comes off so easy. So therefore, we do not rely on our checking. Therefore, it has to be 100% blood. So, by big animals, we have what we call kelgul glot. Then what we call besyosef glot. According to the besyosef, like Rabbi Mandel explained before, besyosef has a set of killers too. So, of course, on the besyosef glot, we do not accept the killers from the besyosef, only the chimeres. That means there are certain rearin who, and that's the expertise we had, Sfardische Rebunim come to our shechit and explain us what their guideline is, and certain rearin that are from the mamish much, much easier than the ones I explained before, which we would take for normal glot, they are even much thinner, they look like a spider web, or even less. Those we accept as besyosef glot. So in our company we have three levels. We have kelgul glot, which by calves and lamb is only kelgul glot, nothing else. Anything that's kosher is only kelgul glot. By the big animals, steers or cows, there's what they call kelgul glot, there's what we call besyosef glot and regular glot. Of course, we never opened the brisket before, which we are afraid that by opening the brisket, it removes the lungs much easier, but the concern is you're going to cut maybe one of the serchas or the rim. After Bedikas Pnim, as I said before, the Voidik writes on a piece of paper, and that piece of paper goes along with the lung to the Voidik Chitz. It has the number, and after they finish Bedikas Chitz, he has a board in front of him with lists of numbers, and every number gets marked if it's kosher or not. And the animal itself also gets a ches after bedikas pnim. If the boidik pnim feels that this will become kosher, glad, he writes a ches on the brisket, on the meat. If not, he doesn't write a ches. Of course, if it's dreif, of course he doesn't, but even if he feels the chance of becoming passing bedikas chitz is yes 50-50, he does not write a ches. So if it becomes kosher, the Boidik Chitz tells the Meshgiach to write a ches and make it kosher. If not, he doesn't tell anybody. If the Boidik Pnim wrote a ches, meaning that his opinion was that this will become kosher, and it turned out the opposite, then the Boidik Chitz tells the Meshgiach that this specific number, they take off the ches, and he doesn't stamp it. Otherwise, then the Mashgiach stamps with Samunim. We have made our own stamps, which each day gets. We have a bias, a gimel, a dalat, so we know the day of the Shechita, and that's important to know for the Melicha, as we're going to talk soon. You're allowed to do Melicha only within the 72 hours after the Shechita. So we need to know on each piece of meat which day was the Shechita. The Mashgiach, as I said, part of his responsibility is making sure that the numbers from the Shechita till the end correspond. The same number goes on the animal. We have a 5-gang number. One gets put on each side one on the head for the tongue, one on the liver, and one on the hanging tender. So each part gets immediately a number, and they have to all correspond. If this number became kosher, then all parts are. If not, not. We go through the following day before the nikah. We go through, because the Mashgiach also has a list, every animal he stamps, he writes a siman next to the number, check that this number he stamped for kosher. Every 10, they compare the two charts between the Boedik Chitz and the Mashgiach to make sure there is no mistakes. And the following day, they recheck every animal before the Malicha. The number stays on the carcass, on the front, to make sure that the same number, really, there was no mistake, because we're dealing only Mashgichim who happen to be human beings, not Maluchim. We basically were looking for some Maluchim to be Mashgichim, but we haven't found yet. So, since we only, unfortunately, have only human beings, and human beings do make occasionally mistakes, it's something we can't help it. That's a fact of life. As much as we try to take the best Mashgichim available for us, but the best Mashgich can occasionally make a mistake. We say every day 3 times, Slach Luni. Obviously we have a tendency to make mistakes. If not, I don't think the Chazal would have Mesakim to say 3 times, Slach Luni. We have to be perfect, and that's it. But obviously we're not. By chicken, again, Shechit is the same. By the Shechita, we are marked to pick the feathers. That's a machloik is a poskim. The Chassidish Welt feeds in the machmirim. The chashash is wegen shear, because if you cut the feather at the same time, you cut the meat, and there's a chashash, it's going to be shear. Then by chicken, there's a mitzvah kisidam, which there's not by Bahaima. The Torah is a kisidam, not Bahaima chai, since we have no shkita chayas. The only chaya kusha which there is available is a deer. We don't check deers. And lungs by chicken and turkeys, generally by chicken in America. And it's rule is different. They check all the lungs. In America, by chicken, it's like I said before, it's not trifus, that's not mutzi. And you don't find it, you're not supposed to check. The same thing, tzimis hagidin in America, nobody checks. We look at them outside because the mashgich looks on every bird, but not specifically, and it's assumed they all cut up every leg to check the tzimis hagidin internally. We do not, because it's not mutzi. By turkeys, depends between male and female. The males, we check each individual, because they're much more mutzi. By females, we only check the beginning of the lot, the first couple of hundred, and if we don't find anything, usually you don't find zero, maybe one of 1,000. Because the females, for whatever reason, usually don't have a problem in the trifus araya. There are certain parts of the chicken you have to cut away before the malicha. Then is the soaking. Balucha, you have to soak meat, regardless chicken or red meat, 30 minutes. And there are 6 reasons, which I don't want to go through. I all printed it up. With Shaita Shechmurach, 6 reasons why you soak meat 30 minutes. It has to be covered completely in water. And then you drain the water, and you have to make sure water reaches each part of the meat. So you have to make sure first there is water in the tank, and then you put the meat. If not, the 2 pieces of meat get together. It doesn't allow the water to come through. Then you salt it. It sits, every place of the piece of the meat has to be salted. It sits in salt for 60 minutes, and it has to be in a place where the juice that comes out at the 60 minutes can drain. The salt can't be too thick or too thin, it has to be dry salt. And after that, it has to be washed down 3 times. Either you spray it off once and you dip it twice, or you dip it 3 times, doesn't make it. It has to get 3 washings. Besides the point, it's good for the quality of the meat, because salt makes the meat to become black. And the better you wash out the salt, the more shelf life it has. Then is the packaging. It has to have 2 chasumas. Because like meat and fish, have to have 2 chasumas. Liver, you grow, you don't salt. You have to wash it off before, wash it off thereafter. The amount of broiling, it's enough if it gets dry on the outside. As a shteit shechurach. Sometimes people can see a little wetness inside. It's still kosher. Broiled enough once the outside is completely dry. By cooking, we are makpid that onions or garlic shouldn't be uncovered overnight, only covered with water, with some salt and sugar. We makpid Amishal Yisroel and Pas Yisroel. Then taking challah, there's a whole, by us, a whole book of instructions, because kama haluchas, each dough, is it made for cooking, is it made for baking, is it mechir b'challah, if it's made only for cooking, you're not mechir b'challah, how big is the dough, and of course, needless to say, v'vudah matzrich and bedika is something which you all have to be very, very makbed, befrat, the last months, we can say years, it was uncovered a lot of hashduchas that give on the so-called ready-to-use salads were full infested, heavy infested, and were big kolkoiras and maiduas. It's only the achrayas for every human being to look on these and read it and apply it and set up his house in such a way that not to use those which are not really acceptable to use. Now I'll ask Rabbi Grossman to put on the we'll put on first the video, then we have a lung here. Yes. Through the matter, I promised last time I'm going to bring a live animal to the shechita here, but it came to the lobby, they didn't have him on the list of security, so he couldn't come in. I had to show my photo ID, me they allowed to, but
what the wife?